Let's begin today by observing that a series may converge because its terms are non-negative and diminish in size fairly rapidly, just thus causing the partial sums to grow slowly. Or it may converge because of cancellation among the terms. So in that case, the terms are some positive and some negative and some zero. The tests which measure the first type of convergence are the most obvious and most elementary, and these are the ones that we're going to talk about right now. So the first one we'll talk about is something called the comparison test. Suppose that summation aj is a convergent series of non-negative terms. If bj are real or complex numbers, and if absolute bj is less than or equal to aj for every j, then the series summation bj converges. Here's the proof. Because summation aj converges, it satisfies the Cauchy criterion for series. Hence, given epsilon greater than zero, there is a capital N so large so that if little n bigger than or equal to little m bigger than capital N, then absolute value summation j equal m to n aj, absolute value less than epsilon. But then absolute value summation bj from j equals m to n is less than or equal summation j equal m to n absolute bj, that's just the triangle inequality, less than or equal summation j equal m to n of aj, that's the hypothesis, and that is, of course, less than epsilon by the Cauchy criterion for the convergent series aj. It follows that the series summation bj satisfies the Cauchy criterion for series, and therefore it converges. Note that since the convergence of a series is determined by its tail, that is, all the terms after some point in the series, we have the same conclusion if the inequality absolute bj less than or equal to aj holds for all sufficiently large j. As a special case of the preceding result, we have corollary: if summation aj is a convergent series of non-negative terms, and if 0 less than or equal to bj less than or equal to aj for all j, then the series summation bj converges. And that's an obvious corollary. No more discussion needed. As a simple example, consider the series summation j equal 1 to infinity, 2 to the minus j sine j. That's a pretty complicated series. The sine j term makes it very difficult to analyze what's going on with this series. Some of the terms will be positive, some will be negative, and since j is an integer, not a multiple of pi, sine of j is difficult to calculate. But notice that summation 2 to the minus j converges, and absolute value 2 to the minus j sine j is certainly less than or equal to 2 to the minus j. So that's the hypothesis of the comparison test, and therefore you conclude immediately that summation j equal 1 to infinity 2 to the minus j sine j does converge. The following result is a useful tool in determining whether a series with non-negative and decreasing terms converges. And it tells you that it suffices to examine a series only involving terms with index of power of 2. So this is the Cauchy condensation test. So assume a1 bigger than or equal to a2 bigger than or equal to a3, dot, 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 dot. The series summation aj converges if and only if the series summation k equal 1 to infinity 2 to the k a to the 2 k, a sub 2 k converges. So you see, for a series where the sum ends decrease to 0, you can check its convergence by only checking the terms with index powers of 2. Here's the proof. First, assume that the series summation aj converges. Notice that for each k bigger than or equal to 1, 2 to the k minus 1 times a sub 2k equals a sub 2k plus a sub 2k plus dot 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 plus a sub 2k, 2k minus 1 times, which is less than or equal to a sub 2k minus 1 plus a sub 2k minus 1 plus 2 plus dot 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 out to a sub 2k. And that equals the sum from m equals 2k minus 1 plus 1 up to 2k of a sub m. Therefore, summation k equals 1 to capital N of 2k minus 1 times a sub 2k, that's the left-hand side of the calculation we just did, is less than or equal to the summation k equal 1 to N of summation m equals 2 to the k minus 1 plus 1 to 2 to the k am. That's the right-hand side of the calculation we just did. And that last is nothing other than the sum from m equals 2 to 2 to the N of a sub m. Since the partial sum's on the right-hand side now, are bounded because summation am converges, so are the partial sums on the left, so it follows that the series summation 2 to the k a sub 2k converges. So that's one direction of our result. For the converse, assume that the series summation k equals 1 to infinity 2 to the k times a sub 2k converges. Observe that for k bigger than or equal to 1, the summation m equals 2 to the k minus 1 plus 1 up to 2 to the k of am is a sub 2 to the k minus 1 plus 1 plus a sub 2 to the k minus 1 plus 2 plus dot 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 plus a sub 2 to the k. And that's less than or equal to a sub 2 to the k minus 1 plus a sub 2 to the k minus 1 plus dot 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 plus a sub 2 to the k minus 1. Here we're using the fact that the terms a, j tend to 0. And this is nothing other than 2 to the k minus 1 times a sub 2 to the k minus 1. Therefore, summation m equals 2 up to 2 to the capital N a sub m equals summation k equals on 1 up to capital N summation m equals 2 to the k minus 1 plus 1 up to 2 to the k a sub m less than or equal to summation k equals 1 up to n of 2 to the k minus 1 a sub 2 to the k minus 1. All we did is we summed the left and right hand sides of the last calculation from k equals 1 to k equals capital N. By the hypothesis that the sum of 2 to the k a sub 2 to the k converges, the partial sums on the right are bounded above, but therefore the sums on the left are bounded above as well. And since the aj are non-negative, then we can immediately conclude that the series on the left converges. And that's the end of the proof of the Cauchy condensation test. Now let's have a really dramatic application of the Cauchy condensation test. Is let's take another look at the harmonic series summation j equals 1 to infinity of 1 over j. So to apply the obviously the terms 1 over j tend monotonically to 0. So we're going to do the Cauchy condensation test and look at summation k equals 1 to infinity 2 to the k times 1 over 2 to the k. And that's summation k equals 1 to infinity of 1. Well, obviously that series, summation k equals 1 to infinity of 1, diverges. And therefore, the original harmonic series, summation j equals 1 to infinity 1 over j, diverges as well. So you can see this is a really easy proof using the Cauchy condensation test. You should compare it with the first proof we gave for the harmonic series, which is actually quite a tricky calculation. Now let's take a moment and look at geometric series. So suppose alpha is a complex number. The series summation j equals 0 to infinity alpha to the j converges if and only if absolute alpha less than 1. In this circumstance, the sum of the series, that is the limit of the partial sums, is 1 over 1 minus alpha. Proof. Let S sub capital N denote the nth partial sum of the geometric series. Then alpha times S sub capital N equals alpha times 1 plus alpha squared plus dot 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 plus alpha to the N, which is alpha plus alpha squared plus dot 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 plus alpha to the N plus 1. So we see that alpha times S sub N and S sub N itself are nearly equal. In fact, alpha times S sub N plus 1 minus alpha to the N plus 1 equals S sub N. Solving this for the quantity S sub N gives S sub N as 1 minus alpha to the N plus 1 divided by 1 minus alpha. This is valid as long as alpha is not 1. Now, if modulus alpha is less than 1, then of course alpha to the N plus 1 tends to 0, hence the sequence of partial sums tends to the limit 1 over 1 minus alpha, as stated in the proposition. If modulus alpha is bigger than 1, then alpha to the N plus 1 diverges, hence the sequence of partial sums diverges. And that completes our discussion in case a modulus of alpha is not 1. In the case modulus alpha equals 1, the sum ends will not tend to 0, so the series fails the 0 test and it diverges. So as an instance, let's look at the summation from j equals 0 to infinity of 3 to the minus j. That's a geometric series. We could write it as summation j equals 0 to infinity of 1 third to the j. And we see immediately then that the sum, it converges, of course, because 1 third is smaller than 1. And we see instantly that the sum is 1 over 1 minus a third, which is 3 halves. The sum of the series summation j equals 2 to infinity of 3 fourths to the j. This doesn't begin at 0, it begins at 2, so what we're going to do is factor a 3/4 quantity squared out of it, and then you get summation j equals 0 to infinity of 3/4 to the j. And so the 3/4 squared in front is 9/16, and the summation from j equals 0 to infinity of 3/4 to the j is, of course, 1 over 1 minus 3/4. And you can see immediately this simplifies to 9/16 times 4, which is 9/4. More generally, when modulus of alpha is smaller than 1, the sum of the geometric series, summation j equals m to infinity c alpha to the j, is c alpha to the m divided by 1 minus alpha. You can do that as an exercise. For a real number p, the series summation j equals 1 to infinity 1 over j to the p is called a p-series. Let's develop a p-series test. Let p be a real number. The series summation j equals 1 to infinity 1 over j to the p converges if p is greater than 1 and diverges otherwise. Clearly, the series diverges if p is less than or equal to 0, because then you're looking at 1 over j to the p, which is going to be a positive power of j, and the terms blow up. At least they don't go to 0. So the series can't possibly converge. So we'll instead examine the series using the Cauchy condensation test, summation k equals 1 to infinity, 2 to the k times 2 to the minus kp. And that summation k equals 1 to infinity, 2 to the 1 minus p, all to the k. So this is a geometric series based on alpha equals 2 to the 1 minus p. When p is bigger than 1, then alpha is, of course, less than 1, so the series converges. Otherwise, it diverges. In some situations, for two series with positive terms, direct comparison may be inconvenient, but the limit of the ratios of the corresponding terms may be used instead. So we have now the limit comparison test. Let summation an and summation bn be series with positive terms. If summation bn converges and the limit as n goes to infinity of an over bn equals some number capital M less than infinity, then summation an converges. If summation bn diverges and the limit n goes to infinity an over bn equals L greater than 0, then summation an diverges. To prove A, assume summation bn converges and the limit as n goes to infinity an over bn equals capital M. Then for all sufficiently large n, we have an over bn less than m plus 1, and hence an less than m plus 1 bn. Obviously, summation n equals 1 to infinity m plus 1 times bn converges. By the comparison test, therefore, summation an converges. The proof of part b is quite similar, and we leave it for you to do. As a final example, let's consider the convergence or divergence of the series summation an, where an is 5n squared minus 4n plus 3 divided by n to the 4th plus 8n squared plus 10, and also the series summation bn, where bn is n cubed root n plus n plus 3 over 3n to the 4th plus 8n squared plus 10. Now, there's some intuition here, which I'd just like to share with you. For the first series, when n is large, the dominant term in the numerator is 5n squared, and the dominant term in the denominator is n to the 4th. And so for n very large, what the sum n's of the first series look like are 5 over n squared. And that's a p-series with p bigger than 1. In fact, p is 2. So it'll converge. For the second series, the dominant term in the numerator is n cubed root n, and the dominant term in the denominator is 3n to the 4th. And so asymptotically, when n is large, what the sum n's look like is 1 over 3 square root of n. That's a p series with p less than 1, and it should diverge. But now we'll be able to see this very precisely using the limit comparison test. So notice that summation 1 over n squared converges by the p series test, and the limit of a n over 1 over n squared is 5. So that's a way of making very precise what I said intuitively a few moments ago. By the limit comparison test, summation an converges. For the second series, notice that by the p test, summation 1 over n to the 1 half diverges, and the limit as n goes to infinity of bn divided by 1 over n to the half is 1 third. Again, this makes precise what I said informally a few moments ago. By the limit comparison test, second part, we see that summation bn diverges. And that's all I want to tell you today. Thank you for listening.